Malco, he's not on yet.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are starting on Pasuk 396 in section 36 of Parasha Lech Lecha from the Zohar Sulam commentary. And I'll start with the L'shem Yechud. L'shem Yechud chud shabrifu ishkinte bitkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'achta l'shem yudhe bavadhe. Beyichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenehu. Tana nachat Gabriel b'shal chova de'esha li'ochteya v'itremiz ad hivya mitokta v'shafa le'ya v'gaweya amai hivya amar lo Kutshabarifu at Azel Lekad Lahivya Ravrava Betakifa Urah La It Gazar Miyad It Remiz Lekad Hivya Lekat La Leya. The translation, we have learned that Gabriel came down in a flame of fire to burn him. He appeared as a burning serpent, which sought to swallow him. And he asked, why a serpent? And he replied, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, you are going to slay a great and mighty serpent, referring to the great sea crocodile that lies in the rivers, who is the king of Egypt, while your son is not yet circumcised. So immediately a serpent was given the intimation to kill Moses. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Do you comprehend the symbolism connection between Pharaoh called a crocodile and Gabriel presenting himself as a snake?
Right.
Questions, comments, thoughts?
Sounds like to me measured by measure.
That's exactly it.
System, you know.
You're going to find. Mida connected Mida. Correct.
Yeah, I can remember it.
But they're using two different names. They're using two different words, crocodile. We don't call a snake a crocodile. We don't call a crocodile a snake. So what is it teaching?
The crocodile is stronger than the snake. The crocodile can eat up the snake.
Correct.
Okay, so if the crocodile was a metaphor for, which we know it is, for Egypt, for Pharaoh, and the serpent being, a much smaller reptile. They're both reptiles, and water creatures. I didn't know it was Angel Gabriel, though, but you can see that, Gabriel being from the side of Gerora,
Correct.
The left. So, in order for him to stand before Pharaoh, he needed to be under the covenant. He needed that circumcision.
Could Gabriel become a crocodile?
I'm sure he could.
That's the question.
Well,
I'm not sure
thinking...
he could, because Gabriel he's a negative, he's not negative, he's on the left column. And as the left column, he represents the side of holiness. Whereas the crocodile is the left of the left of the negative system. The crocodile, we learn in Beshalach that Pharaoh is the Keter of Pharaoh is this crocodile. Actually, we learn it in Bo, because Moses is concerned he doesn't want to go to Pharaoh without God. Because God says, come to me with Pharaoh, come to me to visit the crocodiles of the negative system, meaning the Keter or the Chokmah level. So I'm not sure that Gabriel can, because he's so connected to holiness, I'm not sure that he could, you know, he could obviously look like a crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure he could swallow the bottom half of Moses and then turn around and swallow the top half of Moses. So you may be right, but I'm not sure either way. I'm really raising the question using two words.
Okay. I was thinking it in a different way, that if Hashem told him to be a crocodile, he could be a crocodile. It was whatever assignment he was given. Now, I realize that you're taking it to mean that he's strictly from holiness, so he didn't. So I can see your side as well. But, you know, I would think I don't know. I said enough, I guess.
Well, you are correct. God could give a task to anybody, and but God wouldn't give someone a task that he couldn't complete. So he didn't tell Gabriel to become a crocodile. He told him to become a snake. And we learn also in the Sefer Daniel. No, in Esther, the book of Esther, we learn that Gabriel cannot stand against Satan by himself. He needs Michael to join him in order to be able to overcome Satan. So that's really what it's why he's being told to become a snake, because he doesn't. It's Moses who has to defeat the crocodile. And perhaps the idea that the foreskin is on a lower level of negativity than the highest levels. So the snake is measure for measure, as you said. Does anybody, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, Connor. I did it too frequently.
Well, it's hard for me sometimes. I think you're finished and you're not. You're just taking a breath.
Right.
Part of it's not my fault.
Does anybody else want to ask or make a comment? Ask a question or make a comment? If not, I'll go on.
I see the false as a image of the tongue. It hovers, looks like a snake can cover a person, cover it completely, just like the foreskin covers the keter completely until removed. And when you remove the keter, the ahead is always revealed. So with the snake, I'm just imaging, having this image in my mind that the snake does not, I don't know, it just seems like it's just all concealed inside. I guess is what I'm saying. But the force, the penis area, you know, until you take that foreskin off, it's a revealing thing for me.
The foreskin, by withdrawing, when the penis becomes erect, the foreskin is withdrawn, and it's revealing. That
right.
is true.
And see, I just see it, just knowing animals here in Louisiana. I mean, we see alligators and crocodiles, and we see snakes, and the snakes are food for the crocodiles and alligators. I mean, it's just, you know, part of the
part of nature.
You know.
When you learn the levels of negativity associated, the foreskin is considered the Klipa Noga. And Klipa Noga is, it depends on the consciousness whether that klipa can be brought over to the holy system, or whether it stays in the negative system. The malchut of the negative system essentially can be used for holiness, as the foreskin can, by revealing the crown and revealing the erect penis.
Right.
So you're touching on a very accurate approach. And the fact that Moses had not circumcised his son is related to Noga. Moses was thinking he was correct, because he'll go and free 600,000 souls, and and God is saying, no, the soul of your son needs to be done on the eighth day, no matter what, unless the child is unhealthy.
And I wonder if we go back to when they do that drop of blood and they have to ingest it. There's a deeper meaning to that. And I wonder if that's part of this elevation of Moses' soul as well, when he does that, and also of his son, that the circumcision was done. There's some kind of, I haven't thought through it.
We haven't really talked about it in these. In this section, which I said is like 100, roughly almost 100 verses, when we get to understanding the steps of the circumcision, which we haven't done, I brought it forward to explain something else. But when you get there, you'll begin to get that appreciation. And you're absolutely right. That third step of having a few drops of blood is elevating. Because the father bringing the son to be circumcised is an elevation of the soul of the father, as well as the removal of Satan from the life of the child.
And don't you think by ingesting the blood that was physical act that produced safety for his son? Because you remember, it was Pharaoh's son who died. And so here again, we've got measure for measure in a concealed way.
That's correct. Yeah.
Well said,
Hannah. I can understand now why you would swallow the blood of your child.
Yes, because every act of the circumcision is a measure for measure issue.
Okay.
Every mitzvah is a measure for measure issue, although we may not understand the connection of the measure for measure, mita keneged mita. But it does always that way.
I see it on Shabbat that I may do a little something like, you know, turn the light switch off or turn the light switch off on unconsciously because I wasn't thinking about it. And then it's like not, but just a few minutes later, I have another opportunity to do something else that's a transgression against the Shabbat. So I see it on an everyday basis with just little everyday things. And I think because we say a bar for a mitzvah is another mitzvah, well, when we transgress, well, you better believe you're going to have another opportunity to transgress again. So be on the lookout for it so you can break it. But I see it on little things because of being home on Shabbat, except when the rabbi's in and we, you know, go for the service and Torah study. So I get little practical situations on Shabbat.
Well said. I forget her name, the movie star, Madonna. When Madonna was studying at the Kabbalah Center and she wasn't going to convert, they told her that she needed to do at least one action rather than keeping the Shabbat. So she would bicycle from her home in Beverly Hills to this synagogue rather than drive. And of course she had bodyguards and all the rest of that. But the whole idea was until someone has received that extra soul of Shabbat, the transgression, they can keep all of Shabbat, except they must do some action that desecrates the Shabbat. Because they're not ready to handle all of the light of Shabbat if they were keeping it completely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were told that or not, Hannah, but
no,
that's but following up.
That Michael was calling me once a week, you know, after I got the set of Zohar, he would call me once a week. And I don't know, somehow, I don't even remember the conversation completely, but her name came up, and she was doing all, you know, she was still in publicity and doing things that I considered modest, you know.
Right.
I mean, nothing, I never asked or said anything, but I just felt like she was being a bad example, but I didn't say anything, you know. But she was very much in the, at the time, you know, around 2004 when I got the set of Zohar.
She was involved. She actually became involved around 98.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's still involved today, although it's not publicized because it's not news anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was supposed to buy an apartment in Safat the last time I remember, but that was quite a few years ago, because she wanted, you know, supposedly that's the first place Mashiach is going to appear, and she wanted to be there. I forgot the community. I remember it started with a P. I don't know if it was a suburb of Safat or if it was maybe a little city next to it. I don't remember, because I don't keep up with her, so.
Understand.
She was news a lot. And
yep. In those years, she was.
You know, she was invited. I don't want to talk about her, so I just stopped.
Okay. Verse 397. Adichamat. Tipora, the Gazrat Libra, the Isht is there. Ahidiktiv, Watika, Tipora, Tor, Mahutor, Ela, Asvavta, Umai, Asvavta, Iktiv, Vatikrot, Et Arlat, Benad, the Neat. Nitsa Baruach Ucha. The translation. However, Tzipora understood and circumcised her son, as it is written. And Tzipora took a flint. The Hebrew word is tzor. And what is a tzor? Tzor also means a remedy. And what was the remedy? To cut off the foreskin of her son. So because the Holy Spirit sparkled within her, Moses was saved from death. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Do you think the ritual of Brit Milah was followed by Tzipora? So why is the ritual necessary? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, Tzipora also was the one who taught the song to Miriam on how to get the water from the rock. And so in this situation of also taking the flint and doing the second surgeon. I don't know, she was getting spiritual knowledge from somewhere.
She was getting knowledge from her father.
Mm-hmm.
Her father, Yithro, was the foremost student of all of the spiritual paths for every nation. That's what he did. He wanted to get close to Hashem, and so he studied all of the different paths. That's what his life was about. And Tzipora, being his eldest child, would have received whatever information he was willing to give her, and I'm sure he, when there was discussion of circumcision, it would have been discussed between Yithro and her as the eldest child.
Mm-hmm. And then wasn't this the second son? So she probably had experience discussion
with the first one. Correct. But it's interesting to know, to understand Hebrew, because Tzipora took a flint, and it's telling us the Hebrew word is tzor, tzadi resh, which is 290, and if they have a vav, it would be 296. And this is a The gematria, the same word, the same spelling, means a remedy. So a flint is a remedy. The inner essence of a flint is a remedy. But what is the remedy for? It'll be different aspects. A flint can be doing something else. A flint is not really a knife. A flint is what you use to start fire, correct?
Right.
I thought it was a rock that was like a sharp edge rock.
Yes, it is a sharp edged rock, but when you have two of them, you use it to create foot. Right. You create sparks by rubbing or striking the two rocks against each other. That's how you start a fire. That's the meaning of flint.
Do you think that goes back to Adam when he discovered how to make a fire after going out of Gordon? You know?
I would think so, yes. I don't have any specific knowledge of that, but I would think so.
But I'm connecting it to remedy. You know, if he was cold, then starting the fire.
The remedy was fire.
It would be a remedy.
And you need the tool, or you need the flint to start the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to wait for lightning to strike.
Now, it does say, and it's not in caps, so because the Holy Spirit sparkled within her.
Where does it say this?
The very last sentence, just before the final words of Rabbi Ashlak. So because the Holy Spirit sparkled within her, you know. I think I understand those words because I remember the first chant that Tony had, you know, when we first went to Lafayette, and the doctor told me that it was always cancer. And I mean, just within me came out the thought, well, we'll be your first. You know, to me, that wasn't, I mean, I didn't even have time to think. And to me, that's the Holy Spirit sparkling in you, you know, to come out with something.
That's correct.
You know.
And that is, you know, I've expressed it as well in various classes where I've said somehow something, you know, I just intuitively know it. The information comes into my head. Sometimes I don't use it for 5 or 10 years, but sometimes it comes in as I need to say it. So this is very much this concept of the Holy Spirit, which is called in Hebrew is Ruach HaKodesh.
Right. And helping us when we need the help.
Correct. We're about out of time unless somebody has another question. So tonight's class at 7 p.m. is questions and answers. So hopefully somebody will have a question. I believe last week, Hannah, you hadn't had time to do any research. So you got a whole hour to do it.
I'll see if I can't. Yeah, but I have a lot to do in that hour. But we had questions that came up for Hoshana Rabbah. Next year it's going to fall on Shabbat. So...
okay.
We're going to, you know, a few little hints like, do we do the willows on the Shabbat too? Or, I mean, we don't do the shaking of the lulav and etrog, but do we do the willow ceremony? That's one question. So that gives you a hint. And I'll see if I can find the handouts that we did on the beard of a recon pen.
Understood. So
the question better.
Okay.
I'll
all have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.
It.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Malcolm.
Bye, Anna.